This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to AppForce One, episode 91. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts, and I've been developing software for over 20 years, developing iOS apps for over 10 years, and I'm running the Dutch CoCast for over 9 years. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about editable navigation titles in SwiftUI on iOS 16, Dynamic Island and Live Activities, Quick Start Tutorial, Enabling Concurrency Warnings in Xcode 14, SwiftUI Z-Index, Everything You Need to Know, Accessing UI Hosting Controller from a SwiftUI View, New Background Task in SwiftUI and How to Test It, and iOS Developer Guide on the Main Aspects of Core Data. So I agreed to do a co-op with BenQ a while back, and last week on September 15th the article arrived. BenQ offered me a screen bar, provided I would do 3 tweets about it. I'm now 2 tweets in, and I guess the link to this episode will be the 3rd one. All in all, after a week with the screen bar, I really liked the device. The best part is, I am not really aware of its presence, which is a good thing, right? I did not add any clutter to my desk, but it did improve the lighting of my workspace significantly without adding any glare. So BenQ makes good on its promise about their product. It reduces eye strain thanks to proper lighting, without adding desk clutter or screen glare. I think BenQ screen bar is a solid product and you should not settle for less. The LED array and the color temperature it produces are very nice, and I have not experienced any flicker, not even when taking pictures. So thank you BenQ, I really enjoyed this cooperation. On another note, Do iOS is happening and it is going strong. When I record this, the speaker lineup has been complete for a while. I did a big pitch for a conf in my previous episode. Listen to that if you need convincing to go to Do iOS. If you ask me, Do iOS is going to be a steal of a deal for all parties involved. And yes, I know my opinion is probably biased. Anyways, I got some questions from people. So what does it take to put together a conference? I always say it's rather simple. All you need is a space with a decent enough screen setup, food, drinks, speakers, and attendees. Everything else beyond that, that's a bonus. On October 20th, I'm going to Swift Leeds and see for myself what a conference going all out will look like, because I know Adam is doing an amazing job in organizing Swift Leeds. Do iOS, on the other hand, I know it will be great, but in what way I will add on top of the basics, I just have to see. It really depends on how ticket sales are progressing, and Do iOS has released critical mass in its number of attendees in the first week. All costs have been allocated and it is looking okay. No huge profits for the Dutch CoCats, no profit, but enough to make sure it will not cost the CoCats now any money. I am still waiting for a sponsor to get back to me, and I'm still looking for a sponsor for a possible Monday training event, but all in due time. If we would execute Do iOS as it is right now, with the number of attendees and speakers we have right now, it will be an amazing experience already. The amount of access attendees will get to each other and the level of networking that we can do with the speakers is pretty substantial, and it would be beyond amazing already, actually. On another totally unrelated note, I have received a tracking number for my Model 100 keyboard, the keyboard I/O thing. You know, the keyboard I backed back in July 2021? Well, it's finally shipping. It is supposed to arrive sometime soon, but the only drawback with having a tracking number is that I'm checking the status all the time, and I only ever get the message that the delivery company has in fact received the delivery information on September 14th, and nothing else has changed since then. So my anxiety about the keyboard is through the roof. I think I was better off without tracking numbers, but yeah, probably I will update things on my Twitter when this thing starts moving again. So 3 things already mentioned in my podcast episode thus far: a screen bar, a conference, and a keyboard. Since this podcast is supposed to be about iOS-related things, let's dive into the first article of the week. even though the conference in fact was about iOS. The first article is by Natalia. Editable navigation titles in SwiftUI on iOS 16. Starting from iOS and iPad OS 16, we have a new version of the navigation title modifier that accepts a binding to a string. We can use this modifier to let users rename items straight from the navigation title in the toolbar. This functionality could be useful in apps where an item is configurable, similar to a document in document-based apps. In this post, Natalia will be looking at a simplified example of a note-taking application that displays a note list in the sidebar and a note editor in the detail view. The next article is by Philip. Dynamic Island and Live Activities Quick Start Tutorial. Dynamic Island is a part of the Live Activities API, which is part of the widget system. If your project does not have a widget extension yet, start by adding a new target to your project and select Widget Extension. Now follow along with all the steps outlined by Philip with Xcode 14.1, this minimum version is important, and you will end up with a live activity using the Dynamic Island. Donny has a nice tip on enabling concurrency warnings in Xcode 14. If you want to make sure that your code adopts Swift concurrency as correctly as possible in Swift 5.7, it's a good idea to enable the strict concurrency checking. This is Swift_strict_concurrency in your project. To do this, select your project's target and navigate to the Build Settings tab. Make sure you select all from the list of settings that is shown, Basic is the default, and type strict concurrency in the search bar to find the strict concurrency checking build setting. Thanks, Donny. Some more details are in his post. Sarun talks about SwiftUI Zindex, everything you need to know. Zindex is a modifier that controls the display order of overlapping views in SwiftUI, and Sarun's article will tell you the important things you need to know about Zindex and rendering. The next article is by Thomas, accessing UI hosting controller from a SwiftUI view. While Thomas was working on a mixed UIKit and SwiftUI project, he needed a way to access the UI hosting controller within the SwiftUI view so that he could use it for interacting with other UIKit methods. His blog post tackles the problem and provides a simple solution detailing how to implement such a thing. The approach he takes is using the SwiftUI environment and inserting an object into the environment, which then keeps a weak reference to the view controller hosting the SwiftUI view. Using the SwiftUI view environment has a benefit of allowing multiple other SwiftUI views within the hierarchy to use it as well. This is a nice overview blog post of a detail related to UIKit and SwiftUI interop. And next up, Leonardo grabs back to an older API made available in SwiftUI. New background task in SwiftUI and how to test it. In 2019, Apple released an API called Background Task. The main goal was to keep your app's content fresh and perform operations that will take a few minutes to finish while it is running in the background. Something to take into consideration is that this API might require a power device and network connectivity to execute longer tasks. And now we have this API available in SwiftUI. In Leonardo's post, you will learn how you can test and debug your background task without having to wait for the system to call them for you in SwiftUI. Natasha has a nice Core Data intro this week, iOS developer guide on the main aspects of Core Data. It never hurts to review some basics, and Natasha does just that with her post about Core Data. To persist complex data structures in an iOS application, Apple provides us with the Core Data framework. Core Data allows us to store permanent data for offline use, to cache data, and to add undo functionality, and even more. In Natasha's guide, she will take you through the main concepts of Core Data. And that's it already for this week. Remember, Do iOS is on November 8 and 9. Tickets are available. Tickets run at €175 plus a few percent ticket handling. As a hotel, best option is the Student Hotel Amsterdam City. It should cost you about €150, and it is right on top of the venue. It has a nice subway connection allowing easy access from the airport and the city center. Buy your tickets as soon as possible, because each ticket sold allows us to invest right back into the conference. And this week, I started posting some of the speakers with their talk titles. I will let you know when I grab all this information and put it neatly in one place on the Do iOS website. If you have any feedback, please send me a message through Twitter. My DMs are open. And don't forget, you can always buy me a coffee. Link for that in the show notes. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/leaddeveloper, all one word.